Now today, as we continue with our lessons from Luke, I want to read the opening 10 verses of chapter 19, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to thee again. We thank thee for the reading of thy word. We thank thee for the record of how this man was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him as Lord. We pray that those listening to this broadcast today may also be brought face to face with the challenge of thy beloved Son. May thy blessing rest upon all who are listening. Remember thy people everywhere today, even in parts of the world that are not enjoying the peace that we enjoy here. O God, be with thy dear people, and save many more precious souls. Honor and glorify thy Son, we ask in his precious name. Amen. Now those who were listening on a past day will remember that I made reference to the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to Jericho on this occasion, it was his last visit. He was wending his way upward towards Jerusalem. But also we have the record here of two men who were living in the area of Jericho, to whom the Lord Jesus Christ brought great blessing. These men occupied positions at the extreme ends of the social line. The one was a poor man, just a beggar, a blind beggar, who sat by the wayside. The other man, of whom we have been reading now in chapter 19, his name was Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was not a poor man. Zacchaeus had a chief position. He was the chief amongst the publicans. That is, he was a supervisor over the tax gatherers. He had a good government position. He was the chief among the tax gatherers, and he was rich. And so you see, the Lord Jesus Christ brought blessing to a poor man, one of the despised or outcasts of society, one that nobody wanted, nobody cared for. On the other hand, we have a man here who had climbed the social ladder, had acquired for himself a good position, and was in possession of a great amount of riches. Nevertheless, I want you to notice they were both dwelling in the same place. They were in Jericho. It's very interesting to learn some things about the city of Jericho. When the children of Israel entered the promised land, as recorded away back in the book of Joshua, the first city they came to was the old city of Jericho. At that time, it was a walled city. And remember, these walls were fairly strong. You only require to go to that part of the world today, and the guides will take you up onto the hillside there, just at the foot of the mountains, and they'll show you where they have excavated, and you'll see the old walls of the original city of Jericho. They were big walls, and they were broad enough for houses to be built on the wall. But now that city was destroyed at the time that the children of Israel came in under the leadership of Joshua. Now at that time, God passed a verdict that no man was to rebuild that city. It was not to be rebuilt. If they did, then the judgment of God would fall upon the man who would seek to rebuild the city of Jericho. And the strange thing is this, the man who rebuilt the city had the judgment of God upon him in the fact that God's judgment fell upon his children. Nevertheless, the city was built, the new city of Jericho. Jericho today is in a very, very pleasant situation in the sense of its atmosphere is balmy, it's nice. Cultivate a lot of fruits down in that area. It seems to be that in the days when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, it must have been a kind of vacation resort, and people would go down there for the sake of the climate. It's quite near to the Dead Sea. It's calm, and the climate is good, and they can grow all kinds of fruit. So it was a very pleasant place. In fact, Jericho was known as the city of palm trees. That just gives you some idea of how nice it would be for people of that day to live in Jericho. But while all these things can be said about it from the natural point of view, we've got to come back to this. The city was built in defiance of God. In plain words, it was a city that was marked by infidelity, like saying, no God will hinder me from doing what I like. And so the city was built in defiance of God. Yet that was the place where the poor blind man was living, and that's the place where Zacchaeus was living, and no doubt they are making his money. As the caravan treks came over, and the visitors came, they would all have to pay their duty taxes. So therefore this man, being the chief amongst the tax gatherers, would be able to enrich himself. But he was living in the city that was built in defiance of God. From that, I want to press this home upon all our hearts today, that if in this world we have acquired the world's riches, and yet we're living without God, remember this, my friend, your riches will never buy happiness. You may have acquired a great amount of the world's goods, but that cannot purchase for you a square inch of God's heaven. You cannot buy God's salvation with the mighty dollar, nor with a bar of gold. Neither gold nor silver can obtain your redemption. I hope you have a grasp of that. No matter how rich you are, God is not going to sell you salvation. God is too rich to sell, and man is too poor to buy. For salvation, redemption, was not purchased with silver and gold, but the price of redemption was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God offers salvation free, and has got to be accepted as a free gift, and the poor man can accept that salvation just as well as the rich man. None are excluded. God offers his salvation to whosoever will. I remind you again of a text that I quote at different times on this broadcast. It's this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in the city of Jericho, there was a poor man sitting by the wayside, and he called on the name of the Lord and received the blessing of the Lord. Now in chapter 19, we're faced with a rich man. And I notice here that this man had a certain desire. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. His desire was to see Jesus. In spite of all his riches, in spite of the position that he occupied and the possessions he had acquired, there was something missing in his life. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, then he had this desire to see Jesus. May I ask all my listeners today, when you listen to your friends, your relatives, or preachers tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you listen to them expressing the joy of salvation and telling the peace that comes through being right with God, does it ever cause in your heart the desire to know Christ as Savior? Friend, have you ever had the desire to get right with God? Have you ever had the desire springing up within your soul to know Jesus Christ as Savior and to be at peace with God? He was a man who had that desire. Some people, of course, when they begin to think of eternal matters, immediately turn away and they say, that's not for me. You go your way and I'll go mine, but don't talk to me about eternal matters. Are you one of these people? Do you push off your friends and say, I don't want to listen to you, I don't want to hear about it? And when you hear preachers like myself preaching about the necessity for men and women being saved, you just feel you want to rise from your seat and turn off the radio so you won't hear any more? Is that your reactions, my friend? Or, deep down in your soul, when you get alone and the door is shut, then you begin to think of eternal things, and there is a real desire in your heart. Like the friend that I knew, he said, if God has a way of salvation, then why don't we find out what it is? Here was a man who had everything, as it were, this world could provide, a good position, and a lot of the world's possessions, but there was something missing. He had a desire to see Jesus. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone today who has the desire to be saved. You have the desire to be right with God, but yet you have never settled the great issue. Now, I want you to notice something else with this man. While he sought to see Jesus, he could not for the press because he was little of stature. In plain words, he had certain difficulties he had to face. I've never yet come across any person who became a Christian without facing difficulties. The moment you begin to think of your salvation and the need of getting right with God, your enemy will very soon raise the difficulties. There are some people, when they're faced with the challenge, why, their difficulty is this: but if I become a Christian, there's so many things I'll have to put right. So many things that are wrong in my life will have to be adjusted. But my friend, it's better to get these things adjusted now than to go into eternity and be lost. But some people make the mistake of trying to adjust these things first and then becoming a Christian after. That's not the way it's done, my friend. You trust the Lord Jesus first, and when you're saved, He gives you the courage, He gives you the grace, He gives you the ability to get these things adjusted. So therefore, I say to you now, what are your difficulties? This man couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. Is it the crowd that's keeping you back from getting right with God? Is it? If so, my friend, remember this. The crowd could laugh you into hell, but the crowd can never laugh you out of hell. There's an old verse of a hymn that we used to sing many years ago that I haven't heard for a long time. My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. With Jesus Christ I mean to dwell. I will go. I will go. Is it the crowd, my friend, that's taking you away from salvation? Is it your companions that are dragging you away from Christ? Your companions may drag you into the path of sin, may drag you down to a lost eternity, but as I've said already, they'll never save you. Here is a man then was faced with difficulties, and so are you. But remember, we notice another feature about this man. It was his determination to overcome his difficulties. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He was a man who was determined. Come what may, he may never have the opportunity of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ again. He was going to see him that day. It took a little effort. He had to run out of the crowd. He had to get away up the roadway. And there was a lovely big sycamore tree. There's a lot of them in that part of the world. And he climbed up that sycamore tree in order to have a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think of this. Some people have imagined that he was up there hiding, that he was the only man in that tree. And that's something that the artist has tried to picture as well. They paint a tree with a branch and a little man hanging on that branch. My friend, listen. If you were to see these big spreading trees, you would realize this, that more than one could be up that tree. I'm going to suggest this to you. There was a lot of other people up that tree. They were using it as a kind of grandstand. There may have been a lot of little boys up that tree as well. Be easy to climb up and get out on the branches. They would have their seats up there, clinging around the tree, to get, as it were, the bird's eye view of the man that was passing with the crowd. Zacchaeus is up there, and I'm quite convinced there were others up in that tree with him, trying to get a view of the Lord Jesus. What about you, my friend? Are you determined to get beyond the crowd? Are you determined to get beyond your companions? Are you determined to have a view of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to grips with him, perhaps? For that's what happened with this man. But then I noticed this, that when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Notice his deliverance is very personal. A huge crowd of people thronging the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have indicated, there may have been many others occupying places in those trees to look down upon the procession. But the Lord Jesus stood, and he personally called Zacchaeus. He mentioned him by name and said, Zacchaeus, come down. There are so many people today who are quite prepared to be one of the crowd. Yes, even at religious meetings, they're prepared to be one of the crowd. And if the preacher calls so many people to stand to their feet, they don't mind standing with the crowd. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saves men and women, he saves them as individuals. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ called men and women by name. He knew them. He calls his sheep by name. He called this man by name. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Let me tell you this, my friend, as you listen to my voice now, if you're going to get saved, you'll get saved as an individual. You don't get saved because you're one of the crowd. You don't get saved because you're one of a group. You don't get saved because you're a member of a certain congregation. By no means. We trust Jesus Christ as individuals. God calls us as individuals. We respond as individuals. This man was delivered that day, that is, he was saved. For to be saved means to be delivered. And Jesus called him, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now you will remember that in a previous study this week, we mentioned a principle that operates in God's realm, that whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Zacchaeus was exalted so far as his position in life was concerned, a chief of the publicans, a chief of the tax gatherers. He also exalted himself that day by climbing up above the crowd to look down. But the Lord Jesus Christ asked him to humble himself, and he said, make haste and come down. I might suggest to you, I believe that Zacchaeus came down from that tree quicker than he went up. The Lord said, make haste. It may be that he's saying to someone today, listening to my voice, make haste, my friend, make haste, get right with God. Get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how all come to Christ who shed his blood and at the cross. Get right with God. Make haste. There's no time to lose. This may be your last opportunity. This may be the last day on earth. Who knows? God may be appealing to you, my friend, and saying, make haste. Time is running out. The day of salvation will soon be gone. The door of salvation may soon be closed. And God is saying, make haste. Make haste and come down. Humble thyself. And he came down to the very feet of the Lord Jesus. The Lord says to him, this day is salvation come to this house. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful thing. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into a man's life, what a wonderful thing when the Lord comes into a man's home. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the Savior, it changes the life. It changes the outlook. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the home, it changes the home. Yes, I have seen homes completely changed. So have you, perhaps. It changes the home when the father and the mother get converted. It changes the home when Christ comes in. It changes the life. He says, I must abide at thy house. Now like this, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I like that. You know, being a Christian is not a sad thing. It's a joyful thing. The past is blotted out. The sins of the past are forgiven. The outlook is all fresh and new. The face is set towards heaven itself. It's a joyful thing. He received him joyfully. It is not a sad thing to become a Christian. It's a joyful thing. And so I ask you, my friend, what about you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? And joyfully. Notice how his life changed. He said, Lord, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Talk about giving a tenth. That's what the Pharisees said way back in a study this week already. I give tithes of all that I possess. Why, here's a man said, I'm going to give half of my goods to feed the poor. And better than that, I'm going to make restitution if it's necessary. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. My, you see what salvation does for a man. When a man gets converted, my friend, he becomes a new man. What about you?